Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
It says here to take two for results in 8 hours. That means we should take eight for results in two. Yep.
With Dusty Hara.
Can't see the line, can you, Russ?
No.
And Cam Cleland.
Calm down, Greg. It's soccer. It's soccer.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080.
People don't forget.
The Fan.
Good morning. Happy Thursday to you. The 12th of July, 2018. Hope everybody's having a great morning and is surviving the heat wave. I feel uncomfortable calling that. Yesterday was pretty comfortable outside, I thought.
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
It was, you know? Nice.
Hovering right around 90.
Nice. Supposed to be a little bit toastier today. Toastier weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we always start with weather? Isn't that... You know, I've
it's a great conversation starter.
It is. I've said this before. The ultimate stop and chat conversation is one, my power rankings for the stop and chat conversation. The random or the person you haven't seen that you don't know their name, which I am terrible at names. I'll be straight up honest. I'll know you by face. Hey, you, Mulva. I don't know who you are.
Well, I've literally never heard that name before.
Come on, that's a Seinfeld. Hey, don't you remember where he dates the... Come on, you're not a Seinfeld
guy,
are you?
Well, no, see, we discussed this yesterday. I've seen some Seinfeld episodes, but I've not seen them all.
Okay, so Jerry dates a girl, can't remember her name. And it was named with... He was told by Kramer that the girl's name was a female anatomy, rhymed with a female anatomy. And he couldn't figure out who it was. And he'd give her a hug. He'd say, oh, you. And finally, when she says, you don't know my name. And he goes, Mulva?
Rhymes
no.
With
he goes, really? Oh, Dolores. That was her name, Dolores.
Wow.
So as I started off anyway. Come on, Seinfeld people know this. They truly love that episode. It's one of the better ones.
Okay.
But anyway, if I was power ranking the stop and chats... My number one power rank would go traffic. That would be my first power rank stop and chat.
Mm.
Boy, that traffic.
Especially this month, it'll be a good one.
Boy, that traffic. Number two power ranking would then be weather, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Then is my number three power ranking, kids.
Oh, how the kids.
How the kids doing?
Kids are good.
And my four power ranking, how's the job? Oh, it works good.
Works good. Oh, works great.
How's work going for you?
All right, bye.
And then finally, the last one and the five is just family. Just family in general.
How's your dad? How's your brother?
Tell him I said hi.
That is my power ranking of the ultimate stop and chat.
Good.
So if you get me in the stop and chat and I rank you, you might just call me out and say, wow, you power ranked me five. You went right to the family.
Can I revisit number one really quick? Can we get it? Just get
traffic is.
Yeah, I've also got a number six.
Let's get them all out of the way here real quick.
Sure.
Number one, you guys okay with doing the last segment by yourselves here? Can I leave?
Sure.
Because we booked about.
We booked?
Yeah, my wife and I.
Oh, it was like, who's this we?
We booked
Cam and I did not approve this.
3 months ago, our flights to Reno. We're going to the American Century Championships, the celebrity golf tournament down in Tahoe.
Yeah. I know. I'm very familiar with that.
And our flight leaves at 10:15.
Are you going for a reason?
Well,
because the Houston Astros are going to be there. Some of the Astros.
No, yeah. Yeah. The Astros are going to just call the season off right now. No, we're just going down. Actually, we're going down for We got our honeymoon on Saturday. Anniversary.
Whoa.
I was going to say, how long have you been married?
Adding another sister wife. For a while. We got an anniversary Saturday.
I thought, did you just add a wife?
Yeah, we did. And then we're going down with a bunch of friends and no kids to Tahoe. So it was just going to Tahoe, and then it was like, oh, wait, whoa.
You early booked your flight and weren't prepared.
We weren't prepared for traffic getting happening.
Traffic palooza.
So I'm going to be looking at the traffic, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it to the airport by 10:15.
Why don't you just leave early?
On your rundown that there's nothing slated for 8:30 and 8:45.
Why don't you just leave at 8:30 then?
I'm leaving those in. I'm leaving those empty. I'll go.
Just leave.
I'll go whenever.
Nobody cares.
All right. I'm out.
Nobody's here.
Peace. All right. And then, so number three, how are your kids?
Power ranking.
We got all three out.
Isn't that good? I mean, how good is the power ranking? You got to go.
It's pretty good.
There's one more that you missed, though, I think. And you guys, I would imagine, get this all the time because your sports personalities. Did you see the game last night?
What do you think of the Blazers?
How are the Ducks going to be this season? How the Huskies going to be this season?
Yeah,
That's a good one, a sportsy one.
How's the team doing?
You know what my power rank is?
How about those Mets?
The ultimate sports question. You get it? How's Tom Brady? What's Tom Brady like?
Oh, Tom Brady. Well, you get that. I don't get that a lot. Like,
Dustin,
hey,
I don't really
Brady?
Get that one.
Yeah, that was 16 years ago.
Well, still.
I don't know. He's not on my speed dial.
I think that may.
I know the family was. I saw the family playing dodgeball in their Montana retreat house that they have.
Oh yeah, there's also a video that he was escaping the pass rush of his son, and so now he's going to be a mobile QB this year.
Yes, that was a good one too. Right, that was very good. Yeah.
Are we sure it was a pass rush and his kid wasn't going in for a lips kiss?
I was
going
to say, was he just trying to show him some affection?
It is a Brady family tradition. That is how they show their affection.
Yeah.
It's what they all do.
Okay.
Okay. Did that just get awkward?
No.
Okay. All right.
No. No, it didn't. I'm all right with it. I think everything is okay, family-wise.
See, RJ's with me. RJ, you're with me, buddy. You know that episode. Oh, I'm over. Oh, Dolores. Get it? Female anatomy?
Mm-hmm.
Rhymes with Mulva. What does Mulva rhyme with?
Vulva.
Vulva. Yeah. Mulva, mm-hmm. Not a good name.
No. But I think that there's probably some hipster kid named Mulva somewhere out there.
Probably.
You know?
Like Gaylord Faulker?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they actually had to do the research on
you
that.
You told me that.
Yeah, they had to find a family.
It was a Canadian family.
Canadian family. They had to go north of the border. I'm sure that took a while.
What's the strangest real name that you guys are aware of? Like, you went to school with growing up or something like that, like a Gaylord
first
Faulker.
Name?
First and last or first, whatever. Is there one that jumps out to you?
No, I don't know.
My mom grew up with a family whose last name was Trout, and they named their kids Brook, Rainbow, and Lake.
Oh.
That was a real family.
Do they like fishing? They have to love fishing.
I mean, I guess.
Don't they like
fishing? They just liked making their kids different fish species.
Was the last kid named Gil?
Or the last kid named Brown Trout? It's like,
Brown Trout?
You're the little turd of the family.
Sorry. Yeah, you're the turd.
No, they're two boys and a girl. The girl is Rainbow Trout.
Rainbow Trout.
That is the worst thing you could do to your kid.
They drive a Subaru.
Yeah, they do.
This is like 30 years ago.
Don't you drive a Subaru, Buck?
I do drive a Subaru.
That's what I thought.
All right, P1 Jesse,
nothing
you're
wrong
right.
with a Subaru.
No, it was the
they're
best
cars.
Compact SUV.
They're
for
great
Bank
cars. I'm just saying it's a stereotype.
Buck, by the way, Cam thinks you're a terrible driver, one of the worst on the road.
Interesting.
Yep.
No, why?
Yeah.
If we were talking Subaru, it was my favorite.
Why? Don't back down from this. You know exactly why.
Yeah, I know it's a Subaru driver.
You think Subaru drivers are the worst on the road. I go Prius, you go Subaru.
Prius is my power rank too.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go to my failsafe episode of television, if we're going to compare, Portlandia, where they all three Subaru drivers come to the stop sign together, and they're like, no, you go. It's the ultimate Portland thing to do. Four people or three at a four-way stop. No, it's your turn. No, it's your turn. No, you go. That's what we're dealing with here.
This is pretty bad. We have a Mike Hunt at Tualatin High School, a guy I went to school with. His name is on the wrestling records billboard there.
Nice.
That's pretty unfair.
You got to send in your names.
Of course, the NASCAR driver, famous Dick Trickle.
Trickle.
Yeah. High school athletic director's name was Harry Forehand.
Sounds like a tennis thing. Tennis anyone?
These are bad. I didn't go to school with anybody like that. Mm-hmm. That had names like that were, I guess, punny.
Some punny last names.
I'm gonna have to sit on this for a while. I mean, I had some pretty outlandish names.
I knew a Hickey last name. Hickey.
I did too. A Reagan Hickey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hickey's actually more
common.
Yeah. Mike Hum.
Yeah. What?
This text, Mike Hum.
Careful.
Hum.
Hum. H-U-M-M.
Mike Hum.
Mike.
Hum.
Hmm.
So you guys know how in youth baseball, like I don't know if it's this way up here, but the leading coach is responsible for reporting the highlights to like the local newspaper. Does that happen around here?
Yeah.
So I had a coach when I was 13 who he would always give credit to one player on the other team, the losing team, and he would make up a name like that for him. So
you're
like,
kidding?
Yeah. So he'd be like, you know, Mike Roach doubled for Piedmont today or something.
That is horrible.
Yeah, he just never gave any of the kids on the other team credit. He thought he shouldn't have to, so he just made up names for him that sounded bad when you read them out loud.
I'm getting a clear picture of what kind of coach your coach was.
Your coach is Bart Simpson, is what he is, calling in to Moe's Tavern.
I remember it was just like yesterday.
All right, we got two of them today. 1979, and this date, the infamous Disco Demolition Night was held at Comiskey Park in Chicago. Local radio DJ Steve Dahl hated disco so much, he told all of his fans, bring a disco record to Comiskey, and we will blow them up in center field during the game, during the White Sox game. What ended up happening was thousands of fans brought disco records. They blew a hole in the turf at Comiskey Park, and then thousands of fans flooded the field, and the White Sox were forced to forfeit the next day.
It was a bad idea.
It was a great idea.
Okay.
We need more promotions like that. Dog at the Park, that's very tame. Mm. We need more outlandish, minor leaguish promotions at baseball games. Talk about attendance being down. You see how many people went to the Marlins game last night?
Sure.
Did you?
No, I did not.
5,000 was the
5,000
announced attendance.
Wow.
And you think a disco demolition would bring more at the Hops
games? You get more at the Hops games.
Yes, you do. Than the Marlins games. And by the way, that is announced attendance, meaning the season tickets that they've sold, where the people don't go to the game because they suck. Those tickets were accounted for in that.
So really, we're probably talking about like 2,000 to 2,500 maybe?
Yeah. Sounds like it's the Cleveland Indians of the Major League.
Yeah.
Your attendance is bad, we'll move the team.
But
every time we win, we peel a section.
If Derek Jeter were to blow up a piece of that stupid statue in center field every game, people would start going.
I thought he got that taken out. The city said no.
Well, here the city owns the stadium.
True.
Because they fleeced him. So they consider that statue a public work of art.
Public art.
You can't do that.
But it's like we have pigs here in Portland. We have pigs.
Cows sometimes.
Cows. No, you know
mini
those
horses?
Little statues that they have in the downtown?
Tiny horses. They have, I thought they were cows.
Maybe they're cows. I don't know.
Pigs, cows, whatever. It's all the same. And then also on this day in sports history, in 1993, Ken Griffey Jr. made a first. He was the first person to hit the warehouse at Camden Yards.
I remember where I was.
When he hit the warehouse?
Yeah, summer of my graduating year. I remember watching that. That was memorable. Very much etched in my brain.
That was a shot.
The warehouse, backwards hat, mind you, as he did it.
A moonshot, as it were. Mm. All right, that's today in sports history. 55305, that is the Better You Today text line. Coming up next, the Blazers outbid themselves for Yusuf Nurkic. Did anybody offer him a contract? Dusty and Cam on the Fan. All right, 619, Dusty Hare, Cam Cleland with you. Zach Lowe of ESPN does his winners and losers all the time. Winner, that's a winner. Lock, loser. And within that, he discussed restricted free agents. And the Portland Trailblazers were among the teams that were named in restricted free agency, kind of on a to be determined, not a winner nor a loser. And within that, it was something that Blazer fans are familiar of hearing.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
Well. Well, It is Dustin.
Yes, it is. Thanks, Vic.
Yeah. But it's something Blazer fans have become familiar with under Neil O'Shea. And Buck, are you okay in there? Are you drunk?
He's anti-producing today.
Yeah, it's okay. Totally. Happens. Yeah. It's 6:20.
Everybody had my hand on the wrong mouse.
Never
was
a good
trying
thing.
To get audio for something a little bit
mishandled.
Later.
Mishandled.
Got the old wide orbit mouse instead.
Never good. No. All right. Well, the Blazers apparently outbid themselves for Yusuf Nurkic, but Lowe goes on to add that it may not be as bad as people think. 4 years and $48 million. Lowe says there was no serious competition for Nurkic, with only $4 million guaranteed in year four of his four-year deal. On the surface, it resembles Denver bailing out Mason Plumlee with a three-year $41 million deal when Plumlee had nowhere else to turn. Portland could have played hardball, dared Nurkic to take one-year qualifying offer, a scenario which would have led him into unrestricted free agency in 2018-2019. So the Blazers do it again. Evan Turner, Myers Leonard, Mo Harkless, now Yusuf Nurkic outbidding themselves for another player.
Of the group of who you mentioned, I will say this. Yusuf is the most productive member of that group.
No doubt about it.
His numbers are not, and that $12.5 million, and I think he's set to make 11.1 this year, is his cap number. It's not that bad. I mean, when I look at what the production of what he's been able to do, he's younger. So yeah, I don't feel this bad about this, and no surprises, because my prediction was just last week is that this offer was already on the table in the winter of last year. And I thought that probably the number was whatever the number is. They're like, okay, we'll stick to whatever we offered you. We know there's not much out there. We'll stick to that. And Neil O'Shea overpays. He overpays to keep his talent here. No doubt. Portland is stuck in that for the rest of their days here.
Yeah.
You're going to overpay to keep your talent.
Well, and I think it is a little bit unfair to say that, you know, to turn that into you outbid yourselves with going towards Nurkic and giving him the steal, because I believe that that is what is a fair market value for a guy who is not a perimeter oriented big in the NBA.
No,
you're looking at 12 to 15 million is probably what you're going to have to pay your starting center in the NBA. And Yusuf Nurkic is a starting center. What Lowe goes on to add though, and I think that this is a key part of it, is, you know, the Blazers didn't do what they did with Evan Turner and Myers Leonard and Mo Harkless to an extent, is that this is a tradable contract with a partially guaranteed fourth year. And the fact that he calls it a very tradable asset in Yusuf Nurkic's contract, because of the fact that you can get a full mid-level exception, and it would be enticing to teams if you want to go out and make a move with Yusuf Nurkic to get a full mid-level exception in return for him. And they would want to take on his deal, because in the fourth year, you can basically cut bait and let him go in that deal. So although the Blazers didn't have serious competition, they did something, Neil O'Shea did something really smart here. You lock up your center for at least 4 years if you want him. It's a reasonable number, and it is something that is tradable in the event you say, we need to move on, or we want to move on from Yusuf Nurkic, and they have the ability to do that now.
Yeah, and when you think about starting centers in the league, look what Houston's having to deal with Clint Capella and what they're asking for. He's asking for $100 million plus. He's turned down reportedly $85, $95 million. And all these centers are looking at it. They're looking at the Andre Drummond deal in 2016 where he got $121 million.
Yeah.
Who? Yeah, Andre Drummond got $121 million. This is kind of what you're going to run into, is that in 2016, we talked about it, about those numbers are overinflated because of the $24 million jump in the cap. So you're looking at Yusuf Nurkic as kind of a bargain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what we're going to look at it as, $12.5 million, 11.1 this year with incentive-based, with options in the third year, or I'm sorry, in the fourth year.
Yeah, I think that this is, although you have no competition, you outbid yourselves, Yusuf Nurkic wouldn't have been happy returning to Portland for something less, right? Can we agree with that? With what we know of Nurk and how his level of play in Denver and their willingness to move off of him and go all in on Jokic was because Yusuf Nurkic kind of was like, you guys don't respect me. I don't feel like I'm getting a fair shake here. Mm-hmm. So he kind of turned it off. We've seen that Yusuf Nurkic is kind of up and down. Remember, Mad Nurk is the Nurk you want? Well, remember he got punched in the face and all of a sudden started playing well. He is one of those guys that he's kind of a roller coaster. So you don't pay him that $20 million, but you pay him enough to keep him happy here. And it's a reasonable and fair contract that the Blazers gave up to him. I like it.
Okay. So when you, like when everybody hears us say, when you tease something like on, like we do with our segment, say outbid themselves, is that considered a negative point of view of what you're dealing with in Portland? Or is it just part of how you have to be able to, and I mentioned it again, about having to keep your talent?
Well, I
it's
think
not a negative to outbid yourself when you have production.
To keep your guy, too.
A productive value.
Yeah.
I mean, that's you have to, this is comes down to, again, where we always say is you have to spend the money that's in your cap. You have to get to the what salary cap for. Well, that's not a problem anymore with Portland.
Right.
But we're going to mention these bad contracts, and everybody really has, some teams have some bad contracts. You look at some of the, everybody's got bad contracts. It's unfortunate the Blazers have three.
Yeah, and here's the thing that, like, people want their GM to play the hardball stance and go the hardball stance like maybe Danny Ainge does, and then there's this expectation that guys will come to your team like Boogie Cousins did to Golden State because it happens once or twice here, right? But one thing that is different is that the Blazers aren't in this championship winning window like Golden State is, and they do not have a litany of assets like the Boston Celtics do, where Danny Ainge can sit there and they can go, all right, fine. If you're not going to be willing to come here like they're doing with Marcus Smart right now, if you're not willing to stay here for below market value, then we'll just move on because we have plenty of assets that we can get a good player
with. And you didn't keep Ed Davis at a $4.4 million.
That kind of stinks.
I do wonder how much Damian Lillard had to say regarding Yusuf in this situation. If he was in his ear, or how much Dame is part of this. Is he part of constructing this roster with information given to, no, not just Neil O'Shea, as you've been talking again. You would think as a star of this team, he would say, you're going to get rid of Ed Davis and you're going to find a way to not give Yusuf any money. So you really don't want anybody to be able to set a screen above the 3-point line. You have no big body out there. What do you want? I would think, because every time I see there is a good relationship, I would say Dame plays better with Yusuf on the floor because he's got a big body that can bounce off of. But then you look at how the playoffs went against the Pelicans and it just, they both got kind of stumbled.
You know, I think there's something to what you're saying here in that when you look into everything that Damian Lillard has said about Ed Davis, it has been, he is one of my best friends in the league. He is a great teammate. We're going to miss him in the locker room. Right? I mean, with Yusuf Nurkic, it is everything that his ability and what he can do on the floor. And what he can do on the floor is leaps and bounds above what Ed Davis can do. This text says only $2 million more than Myers. Bargain. I don't think that we can look at it as Myers Leonard as a measuring stick of what the bargain should be.
Yeah,
I think that when you look at that, you go, okay, that kind of highlights what Myers Leonard's contract was.
And with this signing again, and to be able to keep Yusuf and a part of this and letting Ed Davis go, I need to look at the stats, but I would bet that the Blazers are one of the youngest teams because the oldest player on their team is Evan Turner at 29. This team doesn't have anybody on 30 years old at all on its roster.
I believe they were the third youngest roster in the NBA this past year.
But third youngest, but full of experience.
But I think when you look at that, I think the other two were the Bulls and maybe the Hawks.
Two really bad franchises.
Yeah.
Right now. Currently, really bad.
I think last year it was the Bulls and the Hawks.
Everybody's getting, the veterans, we know veterans win, and you could see that Houston's going to go old, and then there's just some older players out there, but this is a positive for the Blazers. They have young talent on their team. They're not old, that's for sure.
No, they're not. And, you know, that's what Neil O'Shea has been preaching, and it's infuriating to a lot of people, career arc. Mm-hmm. But if there's one thing that has been consistent, it is that all of these guys are on the same career arc as one another. Zach Lowe saying that there's no serious competition for Nurk. 4 years, $48 million. They did find a way, though, when you're kind of bidding against yourselves. Unlike in 2016, where money was being handed out like candy, the Portland Trailblazers were able to get a deal that was fair to Nurkic, very fair to the team. And Lowe points out in this article, agents around the league take notice when you give a fair deal to a player and don't try to play hardball with them if you don't have to. And the Trailblazers didn't. Neil O'Shea did right by everybody. And Yusuf Nurkic here for 4 years, but a very tradable contract as Lowe points out. All right, 55305. That is the Better You Today text line. We have a lawsuit against the NCAA, but this one isn't for money. Does that mean it could seriously change how the NCAA works? Here's Buck with SportsCenter.
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
2-4-9-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. Anyway, I think I was weird or desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be, over text. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
All right, 55305, Fan text line. For those that were listening last segment, we're talking about the Blazers, third youngest team in the NBA. And when I looked this up, they were behind at 24.9 years old last year. They were the third youngest team in the NBA. Philly at 24.7. So, like, they're just as young as the Philadelphia 76ers are.
Yeah, and we think of them as children almost.
Right, right, exactly.
Like kids.
And then the Phoenix Suns at 24.5 years old.
Yeah.
So they were within like a half year of total roster. And then you take into consideration Anthony Simons is 18 years old.
Yeah, it's a dose of reality, isn't it?
This year, though, I mentioned Atlanta. I did see Atlanta is projected to be the youngest team in the NBA this year. 23 and a half years old, average age of their roster. 23 and a half. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like the Blazers are a very young team in the NBA.
But a lot of wealthy young men, as I look at that.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. A lot of very wealthy young men on that roster. All right. Speaking of young men that actually are not wealthy at all, a host of the 2013 Louisville basketball team is suing the NCAA. It's leading the charges, the most outstanding player from the 2013 Final Four, Luke Hancock, who is saying, I want my most outstanding player back. I want my national championship back. And the players are saying, we want our national championship back that the NCAA vacated. And they are calling the NCAA a morally bankrupt organization in their lawsuit. They're not seeking money in this lawsuit. All they want is for the courts to rule that the NCAA cannot take away their 2013 national title. Could this be something that changes the way that the NCAA governs? Because what does the NCAA do except for just take away wins now?
Yeah, what's their value? I know it's important. I'm not that stupid to sit there and tell you that the NCAA doesn't have some sort of... It's a necessary evil, in a sense, because we as sports fans don't give it any credit. Mm-hmm. We don't. We look at it as a money grab. I personally feel that the NCAA has evolved so much into just I feel like it's a nonprofit that just collects checks to me. That's what it feels like, but it is for profit. Billions of dollars in March Madness, billions of dollars when it talks about football, and then a college football selection committee that chooses for that, and then a governing body that has so many hypocrisies built into it. You cannot do this, yet you can do this. Every sport has this. Mm-hmm. Yet I can't go to the league for here. One and done rule, but then baseball stays for three. Football transfer rule, baseball, basketball, other transfer rules. There are so much hypocrisies. And then we're going to come down to a final decision where a group of men are like, look, we don't want money here. We don't want this, but you're not going to take away my MVP. You're not going to take away my national championship and tell me that it's gone. I don't know what the NCAA's power is anymore. I feel like they're wielding a stick just like in the Wizard of Oz, the man behind the curtain that nobody believes in, and it's just all fake.
Well, we have that feeling because that's what they do. I mean,
what's amateurism?
Whether it's amateurism is a lie. Miami, University of North Carolina and their academic scandal, Miami paying players, Louisville and the brothel and the payment of players, right? How many times do we see these things where the NCAA is like, okay, we'll come down. Penn State, they came down harshly on Penn State. There were people convicted of covering up child sex abuse on their campus. Yeah. And the NCAA is like, we kind of came down too hard on them. Yet USC's vacated wins. USC's titles
are gone.
Where's
Baylor's vacated wins?
Exactly.
Where are they? Exactly. Reggie Bush lost everything. USC was terrible. We're going to take away that. We're going to pretend that's not real. Yet Baylor's fine. Baylor's fine. No problems here.
The arbitrary rulings that the NCAA throws down, I think, are a big issue with it. And the reason that this may be kind of one of those landmark in sweeping changes lawsuits is because these players aren't asking for money from the NCAA.
Right.
They're not suing for anything except for the NCAA's right to take away the one thing that they do that they feel is a powerful move on their part, which is vacation of wins, taking titles away.
Do you think it's possible mentally for us as fans to separate the competition of the game from the reality of what it takes to get there and do it? Let me explain that if that doesn't make sense to you. The Jailblazers were an incredible era of basketball, correct?
Yes, very successful.
What they did on the court was play great basketball. And they proved it, certainly. I mean, all of you that loved Blazers basketball understood that it was going to be a type of person that's going to get to that level. And I've always asked this question too, are you able to separate what it takes to get to that level? I'm not condoning the actions of what the Blazers did or the actions of what Louisville basketball did to get a 2013 national champion, okay? The dirtiness, the scumbagness that goes into college sports, the amateurism. But at some point, you as a fan, maybe you think of, I just want to watch the game. Can I have the ability to separate what it takes to get there? Because everyone wants to pretend that it's just not, everything's easy, right? That it's everything, it is smoke and mirrors. I know that because I live the inside of it. But can you separate it? Like, can I appreciate the 2013 team for their talent of what they were able to do if you're a Louisville fan and separate what it was to get there? Because this isn't a money grab, right? This is just the ability to say, I'm a champion. What value does it do?
Well, and to kind of highlight what you're saying, every year Kentucky has the best recruiting class in college basketball, right?
Yeah, Kentucky or Duke.
They've won one national title under John Calipari. You can have all the talent in the world. It's a really hard thing to get there. Everybody goes, oh, Alabama should be the best team in college football. But we don't understand the work that it takes to get to that point to win. And that's hard to separate. And that's why these guys are filing the lawsuit.
Yeah.
It's because they're like, dude, we worked our butts off.
Well, what do you think is going to happen? Is somebody from the NC2A going to show up with a briefcase and say, I want your ring. Give me your ring. Give me your shirt. Give me your jersey. Give it to me and take it from. Are they going to take that from you? No, they can never take that away.
Right.
It's the recognition of knowing that on Wikipedia that it will say vacated for the rest of your days. And that does get under your skin a little bit if you think about it, especially maybe if you're one of the guys that didn't do anything or anything. But you know, not going after money here gives me a little bit of, all right, I'm starting to understand it a little more.
Guys, for guys like Luke Hancock, it's walking into the KFC Yum Center and looking up into the rafters and not seeing that banner there, you know, and not being able to go back 20, 30 years from now. And when you tell your kids about the fact that you won a national championship at Louisville, and then you take them to a game and they're like, Daddy, why are all these Final Four banners up here? What about your year?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, that is the reason why. And the fact he isn't asking for money is one thing. What also I think is interesting is that it's Luke Hancock and only four other players on this lawsuit. Because if you're not asking for money, what are you going to have to prove? You're going to have to prove that you weren't one of the guys and that you're treated unfairly because you weren't one of the guys getting the brothels. You weren't one of the guys getting the payments from Louisville to play on that team. And I think that may be something that if they have teeth to that argument, then the NCAA may be looking at themselves going, how in the world do we enforce if we can't take away what is our ace in the hole, which is vacating wins? Your text at 55305, the Better You Today text line. We'll get to some of your feedback next at 6:44 on The Fan. I feel like we should be running down the beach in slow motion right now.
Some people stand in the darkness, afraid to step into the light.
This is Baywatch?
Some people need to help somebody.
You are blinded by the bouncing. You never really listened to the song, huh?
Boy, it took me a second. Yeah. I just needed to see the yellow lifeguard truck chilling down the side.
Yeah.
The slow motion.
Oh, it was the yellow lifeguard truck.
Yeah, that's
the lifeguard
not,
truck.
Not the
it's
red
not
swimsuit.
Pam Anderson.
I'm a truck guy. Right. You know, Pam Anderson never did it for me.
Okay.
Okay, so how about Yasmin Bleeth?
Yasmin did. I'm a brunette. I like brunettes.
What about the Hoff?
I'm a huge Hoff fan. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he's a brunette.
He's huge in Germany.
He chest meat out there. Huge in the world. He was on top of the Berlin Wall, wouldn't he? When it, I mean,
yeah, because he's huge in Germany.
Yeah, he's big.
Yeah,
he likes Hoff. To take partial credit for that wall coming down with his "I've Been Looking for Freedom" musical song.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can quite claim that there.
That's a hard one to sell.
This just went down a vortex on me. This show is probably the biggest world show. I mean, at the time, it still carries more weight than I think any other show in history.
Baywatch?
You have no idea how big this show was internationally.
Okay.
It was massive.
I don't think we're going to... I don't know if we should call it the most... What did you just say?
Was it the most important show? The biggest show in history?
No. When I talk about it, how it
most
it
impactful.
Captured.
You said most impactful.
Yeah, it
and
captured.
I don't think it was impactful at all. Most popular?
What are you talking about? Impactful.
It personified
what it was to be a Californian, and then you had the world stage of the Hoff. He was a monster. This show was massive. Worldwide, it was more popular outside of the U.S. than it was in the
okay,
U.S.
Okay, now there we can. Now we're talking. Now we're talking, Goose. All right. 55305. That is the Better You Today text line. This text says the downside to the Louisville lawsuit, as we're talking about the four players and Luke Hancock, the most outstanding player from the 2013 NCAA tournament, are suing the NCAA not for money, but just for their title back. Says the downside of this lawsuit is that with all the parties and hookers, I'm not sure they're going to garner the sympathy card. There's plenty of other situations where college athletes actually get screwed out of things over BS NCAA rules.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one that is saying a national title. These guys are saying we did nothing wrong. Why are we being punished for it? And they want the courts to say the NCAA can't wield the power of vacating wins and diminishing our hot or warm.
You asked the question too, and I'll bring it again. If the NCAA was to lose something like this, now I don't know what judge or what court or where they filed it, and that if there was a judge that made this decision, mm-hmm. you know, USC could go back. There could be other things that go back. What's left for the NCAA to govern? Help me figure that out. What grounds of control do they have anymore? I believe in my heart that we are going to see in the next 10 years. Not only a dissolving of the NCAA that we know now, it will be some sort of guys or people that just sit in there and enforce maybe, I'm trying to figure it out down to what it is, basic rules. When I mean basic rules, that's all they're going to enforce of how the leagues are run.
Yeah, like the actual framework of, yeah. Hey, we are a governing body of yeah. conferences.
Yeah.
We don't really punish.
Nope.
All we do is we sit there and we say these are the rules of football. But
and they run
even the AFCA does more. The coaches association does more in making rules for football.
I would bet too that they turn into tournament directors.
Well, that
they're tournament performance.
God, what they are.
That's what they are. And then they pretend that they're going to be rule enforcers. Like Mark Emmert's going to stand up with his salty hair, and he's going to say, "We are here and proud to be able to announce that we enforced that." No, you didn't. You didn't mm-hmm. enforce what? What did you enforce? You were told by not only the conferences and the presidents that you're okay with enforcing this because you made a check with them first because they're writing you checks.
Yeah, this is this could be a pretty impactful case when you look at how the NCAA operates moving forward. Because if that is gone, then the NCAA does, I think you're right. They just turn into really tournament directors that take money from football, money from basketball, and then push it towards rowing, softball, baseball, and they distribute that money more evenly across the board.
It's amateurism. It's what it is. It's the dissolving of amateurism.
And it's been happening.
Well, it's been happening, but it's crossing and it's getting further and further away. And what do we want the NCAA to do anymore? What do we really respect the NC2A? Name one thing that you respect that the NC2A does. Is there anything at all?
They provide opportunities for young people to go to college.
They don't provide it.
Well, they provide
the schools provide that. The NC2A doesn't do anything.
But they provide the platform of governance to make sure all the sports are under one umbrella, right? Because without the NCAA, then where kind of are the conferences just individual entities? Like the NAIA is completely separate from the NCAA.
Correct.
Then would the Pac-12 be completely and operate under a completely different set of rules than the Big 12 and the SEC and the ACC?
I don't know, but what I'm trying to get to the core
that's
is...
That's what they do.
Sure. They're an umbrella.
Yes.
They're tournament directors.
Yes, they are. But this is where it comes down to with the NCAA. If you take away this power, I think what the NCAA should do is not try to hold the kids as accountable as they do. They need to hold the adults more accountable. So instead of ripping away a title from Luke Hancock, Gorgie Jang, Tim Henderson, Stephen Van Treese, and Mike Mara, like they have, and that's why the kids are suing, you then are governing athletic directors, conference commissioners, and head coaches.
I always believe you need rules enforcers. You certainly need a gavel to be able to put down on some of these teams. They need to answer to things. There needs to be something that they answer to. The amateurism is one of the things that I think will die and it will go away. And schools and understand that they'll start to evolve into mini professional organizations. However, there still needs to be some governing body. There still needs to be somebody that you call up to.
And that's what I'm saying is they check the adults, not taking away championships like this. And they can then suspend coaches, ADs, conference commissioners for not doing their jobs, right? Instead of punishing kids and vacating wins and saying you're ineligible because of this adult not running their school properly. Because that's the problem is that their enforcement is strictly on the kids and none of it is on the adults. Yeah? You just done?
I don't know if I have a hatred anymore or a lack of faith in what the NC2A is doing. I don't have the fix. None of us really do.
But what I'm saying is that if they win this lawsuit, that's all they'll have because they can't take those away from the kids anymore.
Ever since the EA Sports and the Ed O'Bannon case and looking at really what the NC2A has done and their ability to make money off of young players and for now that we see the Uber's amounts of revenue and what it's done, it's given me no faith in what the NC2A does. I really don't feel that anything they do is in the up and ups. I don't. I know it's rotated around greed and it's rotated around shoe revenue. It's rotated around tournament and advertising money. I know it now. We all know it. I want to pretend that it's a necessary evil. Well, that's what it is. That's all they are is a group of guys and ladies that are sitting in a boardroom directing where money goes.
55305, the better you today text line. Coming up next hour, Segura gets in. And our Throwback Thursday today, first concert that you ever went to. We brought it up earlier in the week. We're going to hammer it home in our Throwback Thursday. Start sending them in so maybe Buck can get some music together for your first concert. But coming up next, the hottest sports stories of the day, hot and cool on The Fan. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.